Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 121. I'm Nick, alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, how are you doing tonight?
I'm here. Happy post-Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah,
pre-Christmas. You're 30. I am 30. It is no longer Thanksgiving. We are in a whole new era of my life. I haven't really made full, peace with this new era of being 30, but we still have Nitros to watch. Yeah. We still have pay-per-views to review. So here we are. We are going to continue doing it. So might as well keep going.
Hey, the one plus side is, even if we ever go back to the first Nitro and work to where we started, there is a finite number of Nitros.
That is true.
If we were doing Raws, it's like, oh, just,
if you watch them, so you're dead. They don't stop coming and 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 they don't stop coming.
But Emily, what is it we do here with all these Nitros?
We take a week-by-week look at the downfall, because it's not so inevitable anymore, at the downfall of WCW through its end years. We are in the end game, folks.
And frankly, last week and a little bit the week before that, we're like, oh, hey, we got some promise.
We were plateauing. We were, holding steady. It was good. What the hell happened?
I think Vince Russo got comfortable with just being back. I don't need to work everybody anymore.
That can't be it, because, he's been here for so long, and it was only 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but this is the, they're going to fire me because I shot on Hogan, and it's like, this is the most Russo Nitro has felt in about a month.
That's
and,
true.
And it carries over into the quality.
This was a tough one to get through. It was kind of I didn't fully understand what I was watching as we were watching it, because the last two episodes have been so manageable that I kept having to stop and catch myself of was I not paying attention, or was the match really just that quick and forgettable?
The last Nitro had matches and told a story in the matches.
Oh, this told a story in matches, but just not the story that was being told in the match.
Well, I'll give you a spoiler right now. The main event goes less than 3 minutes. Uh-huh. But that's the end of the show. Let's talk about this show a little bit. It's WCW Monday Nitro, live from Cleveland, Ohio, on July 24th, 2000. This show did a 2.8 to Raw's 6.2.
I swear the 2.8 is too high.
Yeah.
I think it's the carryover of goodwill from the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's up from last week, which was the weird Tuesday Nitro,
yeah.
And then it is up from the week before as well. That said, it is going opposite the Fallout show of what is, weirdly a really good pay-per-view from WWF. It's Fully Loaded 2000. It has a weird trio of established star versus up-and-comer. It has Undertaker, Kurt Angle, The Rock, and Chris Benoit for the title, and Triple H, Chris Jericho in a last-man-standing match.
Ugh, I hate a last-man-standing match.
No, it's actually a really good match. I didn't look, but I think that also has the Rikishi Val Venus cage match, which is...
That sounds terrible on paper.
It's fantastic.
Why?
Rikishi does a fucking top of the cage diving splash.
Onto Val Venus?
Yeah.
What? That doesn't sound... On paper, come on. Sounds like garbage.
No, it does. But their entire feud was just... They just went out each week and just tried to murder each other, basically. Not with the car, but you know.
Who's driving the white Hummer, brother?
No one.
He was.
No, he said, you've done this before. Steve Austin did not get run over with a white Hummer. White Hummer is just WCW. Well,
he got run over with a white car, though.
It was just a car. The type of the car didn't, or it was the Rock's rental car, but I want to say it was a black car.
No, I feel like it was white.
Now I'm curious. It is a black sedan.
Damn. Sedan?
Yeah.
Wow, I really have merged these two storylines.
Yeah. This is not the first time you've done this either.
But I will continue to think that it was a white Hummer.
That's it. Steve Austin is still out with injury, over at WWF, so they're doing this without Austin.
I feel like, as quintessential as Steve Austin is for the Attitude Era, I feel like he's out on injury for a lot of it.
Well, that's the weird thing of what people versus WWF describe as the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Because he's gone from November of 99 until about the same time in 2000.
Okay, so he's out for a year.
But WWF sometimes is Attitude Era mode, the video game.
Yeah.
It just ends at mid-99. I'm like, so the Attitude Era was a year and a half, maybe?
It depends who you ask.
Or 2 years?
Because you can't say Ruthless Aggression starts in 2000.
No.
That's too early. So yeah. Is that just a no man's land of nothing time?
The eras are always weird because it's unofficial things because is the invasion part of the Attitude Era?
Maybe that's the no man's land era.
Well, speaking of invasions, I have some backstage notes because invasion is a little strong. Because I was going to say WWE is going to invade Australia, but it's like they just have a tour.
Yeah, they just go there. That's not invading.
Now, there is some good news. I couldn't get an exact number on how many shows it is. I got kind of between like the 4 to 6 range. But WCW has like sold out their tour of Australia.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Depending on where they're having their shows.
No, it's like 10,000 seat arenas.
Oh, shit. Okay.
However.
There it is.
Emily, what is the caveat with selling out wrestling shows?
You can't sell all the seats in the arena because of the stage allocation, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So making a deal with the promoter that you will buy back all unused seats or unsold seats when you have a set and don't downscale the set results in you, in your sold out tour, losing $400,000.
You're so stupid. Because that probably blocks off like a quarter of seating in the arena.
Yeah, especially depending on what they've been doing recently, where it's like, yeah, let's try to maximize what is actually sold and how it looks.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, it's some good news. It's not even good news.
It's actually really bad news and really telling news on the business workings of this company that's going down the drain actively.
Well, in a similar vein, Bash at the Beach apparently netted WCW $1.2 million, but over half of that goes to Hulk Hogan, so.
Of course.
And the apparent hope is that, all right, hopefully we'll only lose $30 million this year.
Fingers crossed! God!
They lose over double that.
Jesus.
But speaking of Hogan and Bischoff and all them, apparently morale was at like an all-time high, or all-time relative, but like with the younger guys, like, hey, they're gone. We might actually have a chance. And then they did some house shows and went, fuck, no one's here.
Nope, we do not.
So that kind of got wiped out pretty quick.
Ugh.
I did find the identity of the large-breasted woman from the Kiwi segment. I think that was last week.
The large-breasted woman. I'm sure I remember. I'm sure I made a comment on it.
You didn't even notice her.
Oh, okay. Then I still don't know who you're talking about.
It's apparently BB from WWF.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Who?
Just some random large-breasted woman they signed.
Okay, cool. The fuck is BB?
In contract news, Bobby Heenan's contract is apparently soonly expiring, and they're like, yeah, we're not going to bring him back. I still don't get why WWF didn't sign him.
Really?
They could have done something with him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know. There had to have been like something backstage.
I mean, I think it's just Vince's vindictive people who went and signed over there.
Probably.
I mean, like, Savage doesn't come back.
But did Savage want to come back?
That's the difference.
Like, maybe they didn't want to go back. Like, I don't know what kind of bad blood they maybe left on.
Heenan in his book writes that, like, I was waiting on a call. Didn't happen. Mm. He gets brought back for his one-off at WrestleMania 17 and then brought back for the Hall of Fame. And I think even by the time he's back for the Hall of Fame, you can hear, like, the lung cancer's kind of starting to get to him.
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
And speaking of people with rough injuries and all that, Bret Hart was asked to come to Nitro. But they told him at the last minute, he's like, I'm shooting a TV show. You gotta tell me more than like a day or two in advance.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so
they did make reference to him on this show a couple of times in that one segment with the kick. They're like, oh, that's the kick that took out Bret Hart.
Oh, yes.
They harped on that line like 3 or 4 times. Maybe that was the spot they wanted him to come out in and be like, so, you did it again.
What, take the kick again?
No. Just like kind of stand at the top of the rim, look at him, be like, don't fucking ruin this guy's life. I don't know.
You're going to earn your contract. Take that kick every week. So I plan to make this shorter, and then there's just so many random notes that I have to include.
We haven't even done the weather report yet.
Well, I'm talking about the weather report, where there's always thunder. Yeah, I'm like, oh, let me like trim some of this down. It's still like, no, there's so much dumb shit we got to talk about for this. Because thunder, yeah, it definitely feels like its own world.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Nash is on this Thunder, and he's apparently on the next Thunder.
He's not in this show.
Yeah.
Not in the Nitro.
We'll talk about him with all that in a second.
No.
It's more we ask, why?
So, yeah, there was really a point in this Nitro where they could have very easily just, like, slipped him into conversation, and they just didn't. And I was like, what did he do?
Nothing. He's just, I don't know.
It's so weird.
Lenny Lane showed up in the crowd, was escorted to the back by security. and then was given a tables match against the wall for a contract.
On Thunder?
Yes.
I'm guessing he lost.
He won.
Oh.
The
Where the hell has the wall been, too?
In kayfabe, the wall took a dive and therefore was fired by the cat.
That's not a banned move, the dive?
No. Like, took a dive as in he threw the match. Like, he lost on purpose.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, dive off the top of the rope.
No. He lost the match on purpose in kayfabe.
Oh.
And
the cat keeps making up rules. I'm really sick of the cat being commissioner. So, I'm so done with that story.
Yeah, he is, quote-unquote, fired for doing this. We will talk more about the wall next week.
That's the wall.
He's about to get a new gimmick.
Oh, goody.
I will tell you this. He's going to join the Misfits in action.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Well, Major Stash is gone, so we got to get somebody new.
Major Wall.
I don't know his rank, but he is going to become something AWOL.
That's not even clever. That's not even funny. That's not even like sexual innuendo. That's just dumb.
Wait, so you want... Only
Listen,
one of them...
if you're going to lean into it, lean into it.
Only one of them has a sexual innuendo.
I feel like Stash is also like...
No, it was meant to be drugs.
I always thought of it as a mustache.
No, it was Van Hammer had a hippie gimmick. It's meant to be drugs. I guess Major Gunn's also sexual, so there's two of them. But
I really thought it was like porno mustache.
No, he didn't have one.
That's why I thought it was stupid.
No, because it was supposed to be Private Stash, which I guess makes more sense with the drugs.
But private and mustache makes me think more porn. My brain makes the porn connection faster than it does the drug connection, because like.
And you call me the pervert.
I just thought of, I don't know. I don't think about drugs. I'm sorry. I'm not cool like that.
Yeah. There was a Landstorm segment where he slaps the sticker on the U.S. title and calls it the Canadian title. Everyone's outraged. Some large woman in the audience kind of like gets into it verbally with Landstorm. So Mike Awesome comes out to save the woman. And this somehow results in Canyon coming out to try to hit the Canyon Cutter on the woman.
Like he did on Judy?
Yeah. He's still just going around. I don't know why they're not doing this on Nitro, but Thunder is just Canyon going around hitting Canyon Cutters on everybody, including they did a 1-800-CALL-ATT ad that was a fake ad because like the guy's like, oh, I need more minutes. The Perfect Event come in and are like, hey, why don't you try this? Canyon comes in, hits the Canyon Cutter on the guy. It's like, wait, what?
Is Thunder just where all the rejected fun ideas from the actual talent go to die? Is that the show they're having fun on?
Maybe, because Russo's not writing Thunder. I think Ed Ferrara's writing Thunder, or somebody else is.
Oh, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Look, it may have been for the wrong reasons, but he was having fun doing it, so.
Great, I'm glad he was having fun. You know who wasn't having fun? Me, during this Nitro.
Oh, Buff Bagwell stopped the woman from being canyon cutted.
Great. Thanks, Buff.
David Flair got a cruiserweight title shot and then almost got mouth-to-mouth from Major Gunn, setting up a storyline that we will talk about later in the show.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Tank Abbott knocked out the Great Muta and pinned him. Not super relevant.
Tank Abbott knocked out Muta?
Yep.
Jesus.
Kiwi and Paisley were found together during a hardcore match.
Oh, no.
And let's talk about Kevin Nash.
There we go. Let's do it.
Kevin Nash did a sit-down interview talking about, like, why can't Scott Hall come back? He's just sitting on contract.
Let it go!
WCW only became important when we showed up.
That's true, but also let it the fuck go. Your friend has problems.
I got like 17 months left on my contract.
Okay.
That actually checks out. That was
okay,
true.
That's fine. So sit at home and get your pay and just shut the fuck up.
I'm really glad they put the strap on Booker.
Great.
I mean, that's some kayfabe breaking shit. Don't do that.
Kevin Nash doesn't know what kayfabe is. He's just living his life. Shut the fuck up, though.
Yes, he does. Because the next thing they note is, yeah, there's going to be a match. It's a number one contenders triple threat match at New Blood Rising. It's going to be Kevin Nash versus Goldberg versus Scott Steiner. Kevin Nash is like, yeah, apparently there's problems with like the booking. I'm not going to lobby for a finish, but I'm going over.
And you're telling me that that's not him completely shitting on kayfabe?
He's just
talking about it like he's a real person. He's not in character. That's not keeping kayfabe. That's actively not keeping kayfabe.
No, like, you're saying he's not acknowledging it or whatever. Yeah, he's actively spitting in the face of
it. When I say he's not acknowledging it, I mean he's not playing along.
Oh, I can't wait for that match at the pay-per-view. But maybe we'll get Nash next week on the show.
I doubt it.
I mean, he's has to... Also, Scott Snyder's not on this show either. Which I thought I might have read something about, like... He might have been suspended for two shows, maybe not. I don't fucking know. But let's get into this actual show, the things that did happen. We start with the Nitro graphic into the opening pyro. We haven't gotten an actual video package, like full intro in a while.
Was this a new intro?
No.
This felt different. Something about it felt like a little like remix different. Maybe not fully new, but it felt different.
I think it might have just been the fact that they actually held on the graphic for a little bit longer.
No, like the audio and the music sounded different.
We get Lance Storm coming out almost immediately with the U.S. title and a big Canadian flag sticker over it.
And he says almost immediately, commentary is literally still doing their welcome conversation as Lance Storm was walking down.
We once again got he's like firmly on the stage and the music hits. I don't know what's up with that lately.
Because they started the show and then they immediately went to him. Like, there was the timing of it was fucked. Like, Tony Schiavone was saying, welcome to Nitro, and Lance Storm was walking down the ramp. Like, they fucked up.
Lance Storm requests the Canadian anthem be played and a flag is hastily lowered.
It worked. It looked cool.
Okay.
I thought it looked fine.
Just the manner in which they lowered this, it was like, oh God, you were not ready to do this. Like, it was crooked. It was...
I mean, I think that kind of works, though, for the story. Like, they're not going to put, like, extra work into making the Canadian go over. Like, production, I mean. Like, production's not for Canadians. Yeah.
I appreciate the lore you're adding, but I don't think they were going for that.
It works.
We watched this separate, but I'm imagining Emily popped for, if I can be serious for a second.
I did. It's in all caps in my notes. But honestly, the thing that I popped more for was Lance Storm's t-shirt. Did you read what was on his shirt?
I forgot to note these, but what I remember was the 26th letter of the alphabet is pronounced Z, not Z.
Yes, there was that one. There was, I do not own a dog sled. The beaver is a noble animal.
There's our episode title.
Then there was like, I have a prime minister, not a president. I believe in diversity, not assimilation. Like, there were some political ones in there, but the beaver is a noble animal. I was like, yes. It's a great shirt.
Lance Storm is upset with the lack of respect the fans are showing him and says that America doesn't have any heroes anymore. And Scott Hudson, I know it's 2000, so hindsight applies here, but he cites Tiger Woods and Lance Armstrong as true American heroes. And I'm like, oh, bud, those didn't age the best.
They didn't know then. They didn't know then.
Luckily, Tiger Woods' one was just infidelity and not actively cheating.
True. Yeah, what else? Did he just cheat on his wife?
He cheated on her a lot, I think is the thing.
Okay, because we, like, crucified that man in, like, what, 2008?
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I mean, the biggest star in the world's downfall. People are going to take that and run with it.
Oh, sure. And, like, cheating on your wife is bad. Don't do that. But, like, compared to what other people are canceled for in 2024, it seems like nothing. Like, he's not calling for the kind of stuff that other people are that we are not canceling.
I think he also got, like, a DUI. He had some personal stuff going on
personal
at the time.
Demons?
Yeah.
But during all of this, though, to bring it back to the show, they cut to a fan in the audience, and they get, like, clean audio off this guy going, "Shut up, Lance Storm!"
I missed this
guy. This guy is also wearing a chicken hat. So you have this Canadian technical incredible wrestler in the ring saying how Canada is better than the United States, and you cut to the most quintessential American man in the audience just, "Shut up, Lance Storm," in a chicken hat. Come on.
Lance Storm with an evergreen line. In the U.S., moral standards are at an all-time low.
What was happening in 2000? 9/11 hadn't even happened yet.
Bill Clinton was still president? I don't know.
Had the Monica Lewinsky thing happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's...
Was that 99? I don't remember.
I think it's even earlier, but Bush wins the 2000 election, so Clinton has like 6 months left in office.
Was, other than the Monica Lewinsky scandal, was he like hated? I don't know. What were the morals? We got way worse shit going on 20 years later.
South Park.
South Park's a great show.
Look, it's a different time now. I mean, look.
It's a worse time now.
Yeah, but you're allowed to read Harry Potter and it's not like, that's witchcraft. My children
barely
will be touching that.
Give it a year.
Fair. I mean, now Harry Potter's canceled for different reasons.
That's true. God, the world sucks.
Lance Storm says that New Blood Rising, Mike Awesome will find out how great he truly is. I am really looking forward to that match because I think I could be wrong. I think they do a, like, it's called something different, but like a Duchess of Queensberry kind of thing with
that.
Oh,
Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see.
But they do it with Lance Storm as the heel in Canada.
This match feels like it is going to be your best bit regardless. Like, it's already your best bit. We haven't even seen the match. It's Lance Storm and Mike Awesome. You famously love these two men. It's going to be your best bit.
I almost gave it to not that match last week.
Almost.
Storm then calls out anyone from the back, and hardcore champion Vito comes out.
Not to be confused with the winner of the Westminster Dog Show, Vito. A little pug. He's so cute.
Vito comes out, starts with, "You Canadian piece of shit." Like, oh, Vito just cuts a face promo here. I'm like, are you a face now?
Against the Canadian, yeah. The commentary called him like a quintessential American. Yeah, they're pushing him as a face here.
Post-face promo, he accepts the challenge. And Storm counters, like, all right, let's go title for title. And Vito accepts, but says that Storm's title don't mean gots.
Don't mean gots. It's too gots.
Storm clocks Vito, and we're into Lance Storm versus Vito. Title for title in a hardcore match?
Big old question mark there.
I mean, I guess it is, because they do weapon stuff, so.
They never say it.
Yeah, it's for the hardcore title, so.
It implies, but they never say it outright.
Yeah, I was willing to accept when they started using weapons, because I'm like, okay, it's for that title.
Yeah, I just don't think of, like, I know I should, but I don't think of Lance Storm as a weapons wrestler. Like, this is very much brawler versus technician. And so seeing him, like, swing a chair feels weird to me. I don't know.
There's a very low chance you do, but do you remember his match with Rob Van Dam at the first ECW pay-per-view?
No.
He hits Van Dam with a chair so lightly, the crowd turns on the match.
Oh, I think I do vaguely remember this, actually.
Yeah, because like, it was a headshot. He's like, I don't want to do that to somebody. And so he just tapped him, and it was just...
Well, he went to the Hogan School of Chair Wrestling.
Even Hogan's looked stiff compared to that one. Oof. Nia Jax's at SummerSlam looked stiff compared to that
one.
Oh,
my God.
Which, by the way, I don't blame her for. Side note, she went to go swing, and both Bayley and Naomi give her their heads. And it's like, okay, I can't do that, or I'm going to get fined, so I mean, I have to stop short.
That's true. But there's a way to do that. Like, people do it better than that. Like... Nia has been here long enough that she should know.
Look, she did plenty of other things, like, not great in that match, but, like, it that's one not, that I'm like...
That match was not a great showing of women's wrestling. It was pretty underwhelming, honestly. I don't know that I would say it was embarrassing, but it was not good.
No, we'll get to embarrassing soon in this show.
Yeah, we're talking about women and wrestling. I'm talking about this era. This era is not good. Women's wrestling is, like... is like Hall of Fame worthy compared to what we're going to get in a couple matches, if you can even call it a match.
I think I basically said as much in our Evolution
you
review.
You did, yeah.
But in Lance Storm versus Vito, Vito hits like Japanese arm drags early on and a scoop slam and then works Storm over in the corner. Vito gets a lot of offense early and then goes for the cone and baseball spot and manages to hit it. He fully swings the baseball into the cone, into the taint of Lance Storm.
But barely. So when you look at the cone, the trajectory of the cone after he hits it does not hit Lance Storm. It goes under his leg. It doesn't even go into his crotch. Like, there is no pain there.
Look, my worry every time at that spot is going to be he pulls up too much and just hits someone in the fucking face.
True.
He hasn't done it yet.
I mean, kudos to Lance Storm for selling, but if you're watching the cone during that shot, Lance did not even get glanced.
Storm vaults Vito to the floor and then stops him in the ring, going up top with a low blow and then a superplex. Storm rolls up Vito and bridges, but Vito kicks out. Storm counters an arm drag, but Vito catches him, hits a belly to belly, then hits a diving elbow and a Pison plant. But Lance Storm kicks out of the very nonchalant pin, which even commentary is like, oh, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's by design to like keep him looking strong. It's like, yeah,
I
you would have had it.
Sure. It looked lame, though. It didn't look like he was strong. It looked lame.
I think it was meant to be read as he made a mistake there.
Maybe.
Vito grabs a kendo stick and Lance Storm goes for Vito's leg and seemingly is going for the Canadian Maple Leaf, but Vito gets out with a kendo stick shot. They each trade a big kick. Vito goes for a German suplex, but Storm counters, rolls through, and locks in the Canadian Maple Leaf, and Vito taps out, making Lance Storm a double champion in WCW.
Lancey two belts.
Not quite.
I'll take it.
Stormy two belts is better.
I like Lancey two belts.
This was a decent match.
It was okay. It was fun. I don't think it was a good match, but I think it was fun.
Emily, I have to ask you, is the best match on this card?
Probably. Probably.
Yeah. That's where we're at right now, everybody. I did think it was kind of strange that they just like jumped into him being a double champion.
What do you mean?
You did this with literally no build. You didn't go, hey, next week we're going to have this match. It was, open challenge, you now win, now you're double champion.
Sure. I think the spontaneity of it, though, is what makes it kind of like more grand. Because, yeah, there was no build up to it. There was no marketing for it. But it's kind of one of those like Vince Russo classics of like, oh, anything can happen.
Yeah, but this is so anything can happen that like if you blinked or like, hey, I'll tune in after I go poop. It's like, oh, I'm gone.
Why would you do that? Why would you stop watching?
Why would you poop?
Why would you poop? Why would you ever stop watching? Why would you change the channel? Don't do that. You're going to miss the title change. You never know. Anything could happen.
Backstage, Booker T arrives. Just for clerical notes, we get a Randy Savage Slim Jim ad. Still getting them.
Beef. Spice.
Post-commercial, we get Booker T coming out in street clothes. Booker thanks the fans for their support and says without them, he wouldn't be champion.
I'm kind of over this. He's hit this note like for the last 3 weeks. Enough.
I noted in one of the recent shows that I'm like, ooh, I'm worried they're already getting tired of Booker T. And
yeah, not doing anything with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably are.
Booker tells Jeff Jarrett to save that drama for his mama. And at New Blood Rising, he's going to take him to school.
Go to school, but.
He also says, don't hate the player, hate the game. Felt like he was really trying a bunch of catchphrases in this one.
Yeah, he was.
As opposed to Jeff Jarrett coming out, Goldberg comes out to the ring in street clothes as well.
I feel like it's been so long since we've heard Goldberg just speak that hearing his voice felt weird.
He did a quick promo last week.
Did he?
Or it was the week before, I think.
Okay. It just, we don't hear him like speak for elongated periods of time. So like his voice does not sound natural in my head.
Goldberg says he never had a problem with Booker until last week. He's like, when you put your hands on me. And I think it's Tony Schiavone's like, actually, he caught him with a foot. Goldberg recalls Booker's promise to be a fighting champion and defend it every week. I'm like,
stupid.
He didn't defend it last week.
Well,
like that's fine, but like,
defend your title every week. That also gets repetitive.
But Goldberg wants a title match. As a reminder, Goldberg is booked in a 3-way dance to become number one contender for the pay-per-view already.
What's it
now? Booker surveys the crowd for that match, which gets a good pop. But before he's able to accept, the Cats music hits, and he comes out to the ring and notes that he's the boss and Goldberg doesn't decide who Booker faces.
Another storyline that I'm tired of is the freaking Cat. The thing is, like, before the Cat came out, I swear that Goldberg was, like, giddy. He was, like, actually real-life shoot happy to be, like, talking about this hypothetical match with Booker. I think he wanted to do this match.
Yeah.
Based on his face, at least. Well, the Cat has to ruin it because he's a fucking Cat.
Because Goldberg is in fucking face mode. The Cat says the fans will decide who Booker faces, so they all chant Goldberg.
Yeah.
And while they're chanting Goldberg, Tony Schiavone's like, ah, you can see the Soldberg sign over there. Make up your fucking mind.
God.
Like, you're running the company. Like, if you want to lie to me, whatever. I'm going to be annoyed about it. But you're pissing on my shoes, telling me it's raining, and then saying, no, it's pissed, then go, what are you talking about? It's rain. Tell me one or the other.
He's double gaslighting you.
Like, actually, it's lemonade. We weren't even talking about that.
But of course, this is the perfect time for them to pitch. Well, it doesn't matter what the audience says. Go to WCW.com and vote in this not already set and rigged poll.
Well, see, that's the weirdly kind of clever thing they do. I don't mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
The Cat says, for the next hour, the people can vote on WCW.com. There will be 10 options, including Sting. They go, Goldberg and Sting will be among the options.
Yes.
That's all they say at this point.
We get a whole list.
And I'm like, wow, this is totally legit. Doesn't seem fixed at all.
No.
Also, fuck the live crowd because you don't have a phone to vote on
Some of them do have cell phones. Like, I've seen like clips of people in the audience that they do have cell phones.
You need to go to a page. This is not like a text in your vote thing. Yeah,
so they'll call mom and say, get on the computer in the family room, boot up AOL, and go to WCW.com. But you got to do it after I hang up on the phone because it's the same dial-up line because it's 2000. I can still hear. Can you still hear the sound of AOL dial-up in your head?
I mean, I know the dial-up sound, but like, I think I know that more from culture than I do my personal.
My mom was so big on AOL because I think my granddad was. I have like vivid memories of the login and dial-up screen of logging into AOL, logging into the internet.
Oh, rip that guy.
Just died. Yeah. And every comedian made the same joke. Every single one was like, his last word, goodbye. Clever. Shut up.
Anyway, the Cat gives Goldberg 5 seconds to get out of the ring. Goldberg immediately chokes the Cat, so Booker breaks it up. Security then breaks up the scuffle between the two. The cat then says, payback is a mother, and leaves Goldberg in the vote. Why?
Because he was never going to win it. Because this was rigged. It doesn't matter.
Even in kayfabe.
What's kayfabe?
Now, okay, we both agree the vote is rigged, which makes something later in the show horrific for somebody, but we'll get there.
Oh, you're talking about the number percentages of votes?
Yep.
Yeah, it's evil.
We didn't get the Nitro Girls back from rig for like a second. Until
dancing over a Western Union ad.
Dancing under it.
Well, that's true.
They're cut off by a replay of the last segment. We then get Billy Kidman joining commentary as Tony hypes up the online voting. They literally like, oh, is Billy Kidman one of the people? We don't know. Let's see the graphic. And yes, he is, because the 10 people eligible for your votes tonight are Goldberg, Sting, Billy Kidman, Lance Storm, Mike Awesome, Positively Canyon, Buff Bagwell, The Franchise, Stevie Ray, and Vampiro, which felt like a random inclusion.
This is the thing where I'm like, this would be a crazy simple way to slot in some people that aren't on the show. Kevin Nash, The Wall, like other people that might be big deals. Steiner.
Jarrett's not on there.
Yeah, like people that, yeah, they're not going to win because it's fucking rigged, but don't forget that they're here. Like, don't just relegate them to Thunder.
Fucking put Hogan in there.
Oh my God, imagine. But yeah, that's where I was like, this is silly. Why are we putting Stevie Ray and Vampiro on this list? I don't want to see them against Booker. Like, that's stupid.
Stevie Ray at least has some intrigue.
Not really, though. He's his brother.
Yeah, that's the intrigue. But Billy Kidman's at commentary, and it's like, hey, why are you here? He's like, well, it's Tori Wilson's birthday.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the worst bit of the show.
Yeah, he brought her a gift. A special gift. It's a sex tape of the two of them. Great. As he's explaining this, Miss Hancock and David Flair come out to the ring, and commentary says, we're going to show the tape later on. Sure, Jan.
This is the definition of revenge porn, which is super illegal, Billy!
I don't know if it was illegal in 2000. It's still bad.
It might not be. It's still quite bad. And the fact that, like, later on, it evolves throughout the show. The fact that Mark Madden is so jazzed for this is so gross. It's all so gross. And, like, poor Tori. Like, they're real-life dating, right? Imagine doing this to me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, I'm going to say a sentence I need you to fully hear out before you react.
Oh, no.
I would actually kind of think you would have a sense of the legality of revenge porn around this time. Because didn't you watch the show of Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee?
I did. I don't remember legality of it.
Because somebody else publishes that. So I'm like, I thought they got sued. I might be wrong.
I think you might be right. I think they did get sued because it was like also, but it was also theft because it was like someone broke into their house and stole it out of a safe. Because that wasn't necessarily revenge porn. That's different.
It's similar premise.
It's very, very similar premise. I don't know. But yeah, that was a really great show. Oh man, it was on Hulu. Watch it. It's so good.
But the backdrop for this terrible storyline right now, which I guess is unrelated, just like, hey, we're going to have this match, is a mixed tag match of David Flair and Miss Hancock versus Lieutenant Loco and Major Guns. Ugh. And commentary notes, there's going to be an ROTC match at the pay-per-view. Between
what does ROTC stand for, Nick?
Rip off the camouflage. Yeah, it's between Stacy and Major Guns, not David and and Chavo. So that's at New Blood Rising. They will announce later that it's going to be in a mud pit.
Ah!
David came out in a suit and is like wrestling in a shirt and tie. I don't really know why.
Well, I think he was trying to match Ms. Hancock's vibe because she was still in the secretary outfit. So him coming out in a suit and tie like looked like it matched her.
David attacks Chavo from behind. His commentary notes the mud pit. Chavo hits a drop kick and a flapjack, but Miss Hancock breaks up the pin. Major Guns then slaps David, and Miss Hancock slides a chair in the ring. Guns and Hancock run in circles outside the ring until David ends up seated in the corner, and Major Guns tags in and through circumstances. I used to hit the drop toe hold. She just kind of drops Miss Hancock into David's penis.
She kind of goes for a spear-like maneuver at Guns and just like, oops, I'm in his crotch. It was stupid. This whole match is stupid. This whole premise is stupid. It's all fucking stupid. Don't watch this shit.
Major Guns then just kind of grabs Miss Hancock's hair for a while until David Flair hits Chavo with a chair.
And during the hair grabbing, commentary is like, oh, there go the extensions. So at least commentary can recognize what extensions are. You should probably like learn with them.
Well, we noticed this the other week because they know to acknowledge them, but they don't really know what they are or like how dangerous they are or aren't.
It's like breaking a nail. It's really painful and it's inconvenient, but it's not going to kill you.
David then grabs Major Guns and just like kind of drops her as Stacy tries for a dive. And, like, just lands on David Flair.
It looked like she was aiming for David.
She was, because that's the spot.
Okay.
But not in kayfabe. It's just,
kayfabe, it looked like she was aiming for him.
Oh, no. Major Guns totally just got out of the way just in time.
No, it looked like she was aiming for him.
Emily, it is Stacy Keibler, David Flair, and...
In the story. Yeah. Stacy can tell a story. I'll give her that.
No, this is a botched timing. Major Guns then rolls up Miss Hancock after the dive and wins. Hancock and Flair argue as Guns goes to give Chavo mouth-to-mouth. David awkwardly grabs Major Guns and then, like, Miss Hancock rips her top off. Not well.
But also, Guns sells this like it's the most devastating thing to happen. Oh no, don't tear off my tear-away tank top. What?
Commentary.
You tear it off every single time you're in the ring!
Commentary trying to figure out how to advertise the match. They're like, oh, see there, tear off the camouflage. Well, no, actually, she tore her down to the camouflage.
they don't fucking know what they're
moving
saying.
On.
They don't even know what the match is. They don't care what the match is. They just want to see boobies.
Chavo attacks David and clears him from the ring as Miss Hancock just kind of runs away.
Was Chavo even in this match?
That's the most damning indictment of this match, is that Chavo Guerrero is a good worker, and he's invisible in this fucking match.
I didn't even realize that I did honestly forget he was here until the end of the match. I see him laid out. I'm like, oh. I guess you did do something.
This was embarrassing.
Yeah.
This was... I took a break after this, but now I... this is like one of those matches that when you're younger, you're like, please don't have my parents walk in while this
literally,
is happening.
Yeah. It was. It was embarrassing. Because like, how do you explain this?
It's like, you just swap over to porn. Oh, I'm watching porn.
How do you justify a match like this as a wrestling fan? Like, how can you be like, no, this show that I'm watching, this thing that I'm watching, I'm a wrestling fan, the stuff that I watch... is good, like, top-tier athleticism with story and acting and, like, these juxtapositions of stories and characters. Not titties.
Tits in it.
Tits in it.
Backstage, the Cat gets interrupted by Jeff Jarrett. He's pissed, wants a title shot tonight. Jarrett then just knocks items off the Cat's desk in a weird theme of tonight. And Emily, what does he use to knock these items over?
His banjo?
Yes.
Cat. His whole thing is a guitar. It's a guitar.
He did refer to his guitar as Slapnuts on Thunder.
Oh no, is he naming it Slapnuts?
I don't know. But the Cat gives him a title shot. He gives him a tag title shot against Chronic.
This is stupid. This is clever, but stupid.
It is a handicap match. Like, there's no intrigue of, like, who's his partner going to be? Yeah. Like, nope, just handicap.
Like, oh, you're going to get a title match. You just didn't specify what title.
Pamela Paulshock is here with Sting.
Pamela Pumpkins with definitely Sting. Definitely not Sting.
It sounded like him.
Did it?
Yeah.
Not really.
Sting says, yeah, it's really me. And I don't care what the booking committee says. I'm going to take off this stupid mask later. Why not now?
Why not now? Because he's not Sting.
Then get Mike Tenay with Goldberg. Bill says he's totally going to be chosen. But like, if I don't, I'm just going to take out whoever wins.
Whoever wins the vote, if it's not me, is leaving in a body bag. It's a hell of a threat, Bill William.
We get Brian Adams telling Brian Clark, like, hey, it's time for the match. And we hear a guitar smash to the background. And then we see, oh no, Brian Clark has been hit by a guitar.
It looks staged. And they even commentary is like, well, if this was Jarrett, he's getting to the ring really quickly because then his music hits and he's in the ring. But we never get any kind of, like, we don't know if it was actually Jeff Jarrett or if it was a setup.
My guess was the Filthy Animals, but.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll know next week. Who knows?
They're not going to carry over this storyline. Not with Chronic.
Yeah, because next up is Jeff Jarrett versus Chronic. I was glad the commentary noted, like, physically, you cannot have made it to the ring that fast.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, they're definitely feeding into it being a, like, you know, setup.
A whodunit.
Yeah, a mystery.
Tony Schiavone says they're experiencing record volume on their website.
So, like, 7 people.
Brian Adams comes out, seemingly unaware that his partner's not with him.
Does he not go back and find Brian Clark?
No.
Oh, in my head, he turned around and, like, found him.
No, the
laid
camera
out.
Does.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Jarrett attacks Adams, getting in the ring. Adams hits a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker and a big right hand. Hits a quick jumping pile driver, and they go to ringside. I'm like, I don't know if I trust you to do that, bud.
It's a choice. It's a choice he made.
Jarrett runs Adams into the ring post and then smashes him on the steps. Jarrett then hits a pile driver on the mat. Like, I trust you, bud.
Yeah.
And then back in the ring, hits a jumping DDT. Adams stops short on a vault over in the corner. He then hits a full Nelson slam and then a big boot and a leg drop for only a two. Did you catch Mark Madden's line on that?
No.
Oh, that move never wins.
Oh.
The big boot and leg drop because Hogan left.
Oh, fuck you. Get fucked. Get wrecked. Get fucked.
Now, do you want to know you are defending Hulk Hogan here?
I'm more so...
Who do you hate more, Emily? Hulk Hogan or Mark Madden?
I am more so denouncing the marquee the marquee words that Mark Madden likes to say. He likes to be such a shill for Hogan. It's just annoying. I just don't like how much he plays into it. I'm more against Mark than I am for Hogan.
You know, we may have been understating how much he has mentioned the upcoming sex tape at this point.
Oh, yeah, because I have been drowning it out, but it's been like
every third word.
The whole time that Billy was on commentary, he just wanted information on this tape. He's talked about it with like different people in the ring, like, oh, look at that move. I bet that's on the tape. Like every third word, it is something about this sex tape. It's disgusting.
Jeff Jarrett hits Bryan Adams with like the end of the guitar. What is that part of the guitar called?
The neck.
The neck. Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, calling the end of it the neck just felt wrong.
But like the long part of the guitar is the neck.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking like the head of like where you actually are like...
Oh, like the tuning. I don't actually know. I don't remember.
Okay. I don't remember.
I played the guitar, but I'm really bad at it. So like the anatomy of a guitar is actually stupid simple. The big part of the guitar is the body. The long skinny part is the neck. What do you think the top part is called?
The head?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
It felt too simple.
It is too simple, but that is what it is.
He hits him with the head of the guitar in the throat.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty hard. Like, even in a worked guitar, like, that's a solid piece.
Oh, it's the hardest part of the guitar. Adams hits a press slam, dropping Jeff Jarrett on his knee. Adams then misses a diving knee drop, and Brian Clark comes out with a broken guitar. It's like, yep, you hit me with this.
Listen here, motherfucker. This is what got me.
The ref stops him from using it, but Clark just hits a meltdown and they signal for high times. Like, this didn't lead to anything.
Nope. It was just a minor inconvenience at best.
Clark stops the high times. He wants to do it through the announce table. They then go to do that. Referee Slick Johnson's like, no, you can't do that. So they just do it to Slick Johnson as Jarrett escapes. Why? Who the fuck knows?
Because why not? Because wrestling doesn't matter. We're just here for the spots.
Yeah. The match just seemingly ends. It's actually a passable match, I'll
say. Yeah, it wasn't the worst. It was funny. Well, again, it was fun. It was quick.
Like, Bryan Adams is not a good storyteller in the ring, but he just has enough moves to where I'm like, all right, if you space these out, you can do a little something.
I mean, I guess. It was overall kind of, like, uninteresting to me. I don't want to say it was boring, but it was uninteresting. Until Brian Clark came out. That's when I was like, oh, I'm here. And so I feel like the same happened with the crowd too. Like the pop from the crowd when Brian Clark came out and like everything started happening. Then it was like, oh, I'm here. I'm listening.
Did it make Jarrett look great going into his title match?
A little chicken shit heel running off? No.
Backstage, the cat tries to put a lamp together that Jarrett broke or something like a lamp.
It looked like a, like one of those mind puzzles you get from the like weird store in the mall that's like, intellectual puzzles. I don't know.
Yeah.
It looked like one of those.
He's jump scared by Vampiro, who's like, all right, I can take care of the Great Muda for you.
But he's in full ICP face paint again.
The cat explains the issue and he's like, oh, I got misted by him, but it's fine. I got it. The segment just is like, okay, we're going to do Vampiro versus Muda with the cat as ref.
But the whole time the cat is like, Vampiro, I don't need you to take out the Great Muda. I can do it. I'll kick his ass. I got it. And Vampiro's like, why would you do that? You're not a wrestler right now. You're the boss. Why would you do it? You don't need to. Let me.
We then get Pamela Paulshock.
Pamela Pumpkins.
She's here with Tori Wilson and the franchise. She asked them about the tape, and Douglas is generally pissed off, but Tori seems to admit, like, yeah, it's a real tape.
Yeah. I mean, listen, she's of age. She did it with her boyfriend. They were consenting. They did it together. It was never supposed to get out. Like, that is the problem with all of this. It was not made for mass appeal.
After that, we get a voting update. And
oh my god,
with how clean some of these numbers are, one, that's your first cue that it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But also, stay to some of these. I'm gonna run through them. So in first place, we have Sting at 35% of
Shocker.
The vote. Then we have Goldberg with 30% of the vote. Then we have Vampiro with 10% of the vote.
Yeah, I don't know where that one came from.
Juggalos?
Maybe? They did mention that Vampiro performed with the Insane Clown Posse at one of their most recent concerts.
It's fake, Emily. That's what
That didn't happen?
From. No, sorry. That probably did. I'm saying the voting, where I'm saying it's because of them.
Oh, I'm saying kayfabe.
No, because he was going to release an album at one point. We kind of mentioned him previously. tied for fourth place with 6% each, Lance Storm and Mike Awesome.
Okay.
It's like, okay, like the heels are just getting a good amount
Whatever.
Of the vote here.
What's a fucking heel? What's a face? Stop with that.
The Canadian guy's the heel. Oh, all that came from Canada. That's why.
Who cares?
In joint sixth place with 4%, we have Buff Bagwell and Stevie Ray. Tied for eighth, we have Canyon and the Franchise. And in bum fucking last with 1%, the guy who goes, hey, you're going to get to see Tori Wilson having sex. It's Billy Kidman.
He was the one on commentary when they talked about this, and he got 1% of the vote. Woof. It's fake. You couldn't have thrown him a couple extra numbers?
All right. Are the numbers better or worse if it's real versus fake? Which is worse for it to be?
Honestly, I think it's worse that it's fake.
It just shows they have nothing.
Yeah. Like, if it's fake, that's a good opportunity for them to have been like, this was a really close race. Like, all of our guys are so big, it would have been awesome to see any of them against Booker.
You have the guy he's feuding against as the clear heel ahead of him in the voting.
Yep. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
So, after the next match, we'll know who wins, which I'm like, you have a 5% lead with 6 minutes to go. It's like,
I think
feel like
you win. I think you got it.
Fan votes in wrestling are always in a weird time.
Yeah.
Because the three ways to do it are you do it as a genuine shoot, which happens occasionally, but usually doesn't lead to good things.
Yeah.
You just do it as a complete work, or you give the illusion of choice.
Like, what was that pay-per-view, the Cyber Tuesday?
There's
like
Cyber
that?
Sunday and Taboo
Sunday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So you merged them.
Okay, yeah. Where there was like, oh, you go and vote. Like, were those real?
I think they might have kind of had to have been because... like, people paid money for the thing. Like, there's different degrees of, like, exactly what happened there. But, like, there's two versions of the illusion of choice where it's like, we've built our whole storyline to clearly be you're going to face Chris Jericho and not these other two. And then there's the version that it's like, what's your match going to be? Is it going to be a street fight, a hardcore match, or a falls count anywhere? It's
right.
Like, it's the same fucking thing.
Right.
I think the biggest instance people can remember of that going wrong in WWE is they were going to have Evan Bourne face somebody on a People Power Raw.
People Power?
Thank John Laurinaitis for that.
Ugh. I will never thank John Laurinaitis for anything.
They were clearly setting up a fun, quote-unquote, dream match of Sin Cara versus Evan Bourne. And they fucked up the text voting, where they closed the voting and then announced the new one too quick.
Mm.
So people were still voting on the last one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it resulted in, I think, like, Mason Ryan winning.
Who the... you have named three names that I'm
Welsh
kind
Batista.
Of know. I kind of know who Sin Cara is, but no, not the other three.
Welsh
other
Batista.
Okay, sure.
Anyway, back to WCW. Our next match is Vampiro with the ICP and the Demon, Dale Torborg. Versus the Great Muta with special guest referee, Ernest the Cat Miller. And Vampiro kicks the cat almost immediately. The cat fights off the ICP, but Muta joins the beatdown and is seemingly joining the Dark Carnival.
Yep. Because why not? This was such a nothing match. This wasn't a match.
Oh, but we're not done because the Demon then gets in the ring, pulls everyone away from the cat. Oh, he's saving him. Nope. Hits the love gun. And that's it.
Again,
it. The ICP stick around so they can get taken out by the cat because for some reason he has to stand tall in this segment where he gets turned on.
This was one of those matches that, like, I looked away for a second and I looked back up and everything was different. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I have no notes about Muta in my notes. I know he was there, but, like, He was such a blip in the Matrix that, like, was he?
This isn't even who's the real winner, brother, because there's no winner.
There is no winner.
Like, this is a weird way to get them together. Like, I'm fine with whatever. You want to have him be in the group, but, like, this was a weird way to do it.
What was this? This was just 30 seconds of confused chaos.
They did try reusing the Brothers in Paint name.
Oh, did they? I missed that.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's a good name. Like, that is a good name for these people to have. But, like, make them do something good with it? I don't know.
That's it for these guys this show. We'll have to figure out more next show. Backstage, Pamela is with Booker T. Booker says it's not about Goldberg, it's about the people, and he'll fight whoever they pick, but he'll be leaving with the title. And we see Goldberg pacing, ready for his match, which is totally going to be him.
Totally. Yeah, 100%.
My next note is just, it's Booker T versus Sting.
Yep, same.
Booker comes out to the ring, and then we just hear Sting's music. And
that's not Sting's music. That's nope. Booker T's music. Yep.
And Goldberg attacks Sting after hiding in the set. Can we talk about that for a second?
Oh, I missed that. I thought he ran from Gorilla.
No, he's just, like, weirdly in one of, like, the nooks. Like,
oh.
In, like, which means he got ahead of Sting.
He was out there during the commercial break.
I guess. So Goldberg attacks him, and, like, Sting gets stretchered out? I did not see what the fuck.
No, they were trying to play this
kick.
Off.
Yeah.
Oh, so this, okay, yes. So this is the moment that they kept alluding to Bret Hart, because the Goldberg comes up and kicks Sting the way that he kicked Bret, and commentary's like, that's the move that put Bret Hart out for a year. More than a year. And they kept harping on that multiple times. But, like, yeah, Sting gets, quote, we're saying Sting. It's not fucking Sting. This man called Sting gets stretchered out for, you don't really see him, like, die necessarily. He doesn't, like, pass out. Like, he's fine. But you put him on the stretcher, his arm goes limp. Like, you can see that he's just,
he,
like,
does this. Bleh. He does that. He's as quick as a cat, and he hits you with a bat.
Keep going,
something.
Yeah. We'll see, guy.
Well, Goldberg and Booker get separated by security, and then good guy Booker, like, helps the EMTs, like, stretcher him off. He, like, helps move
Sting's
body. He helps
lift the stretcher, yeah. And then he kind of, like, does the look over shoulder back in the ring at Goldberg and just kind of, like, looks at him, shakes his head, and starts to walk backstage with the EMTs and not Sting. And then Goldberg in the ring is like, hey, Booker, what if we have a match? And then Booker's like, okay. And then here we are.
Yeah, so it's Goldberg versus Booker T for the WCW title.
Being a good guy lasted all of 1 second.
I mean, look, it's longer than Tony and Scott did with Stevie Ray last week.
Valid.
Goldberg hits a clothesline and a press power slam. Goldberg works Booker around ringside and busts him open. Like, oh, shit. Goldberg then locks in an armbar, but Booker gets to the ropes. Stevie Ray comes out to the ring, throws in the towel on Booker's behalf.
He throws in the towel, but then Goldberg grabs the towel and just chucks it back at Stevie Ray.
Oh,
he's like, fuck your towel.
Well, he wipes himself down
yeah,
first.
Yeah, he wipes, like, the sweat off his face. But he's like, fuck your towel. We're keep going.
The cat comes out still in his ref gear and he's like, yep, match is over. Goldberg, you win, but he didn't tap out, so.
I didn't totally understand this.
Because it's not a thing.
Commentary was also really harping on the fact that Booker was bleeding. And the lines that commentary was saying about this was, we've never seen Booker bleed like this. We've never seen this amount of carnage happen so quickly in a match. I'm like, have you ever met Ric Flair? Have you ever seen a Ric Flair match?
Have you heard of Timed Blade?
Have you heard of Blades? Like, bullshit. But regardless, they kept harping on how we've never seen this amount of blood out of Booker T. He's never been busted open before. I don't know if that's true.
Probably not.
But it felt like Kat was calling the match because Booker was bleeding.
Well, Steve Ray threw in the towel because he couldn't continue.
But Kat didn't see the towel.
Yeah, he was watching backstage. Yeah, that was the thing. Is that the towel got thrown in. It was, okay, you win via towel or ref stoppage, whatever you want to call it. But because you didn't pin or submit him, you don't win the title.
Okay.
That's not... Well, pin or submission, that is a thing. You can absolutely win by towel being thrown in.
You can win the
title. Or ref stoppage. Oh. Absolutely. Because it's one's a clear form of submission on behalf of your corner. And the other one is, yeah, like, you lost. Like, it's not like a, ooh, gray area DQ countout. It's like, no, you died. And... In history, people have won the title via those things.
Oh.
So, including somebody they mentioned earlier, Bret Hart lost the title via someone throwing in the towel.
Oh.
Yeah, they did a thing with Bob Backlund because Backlund had lost the title like 20 years before, via his manager throwing the towel in. And they did a thing where Owen convinced his mom to throw in the towel on Brett's behalf. And they was like, ha, I got him.
What the fuck?
Because it's that era of Owen.
Fucky Owen is the best Owen.
But yeah, it's like every other time that is the equivalent. And I was trying to find like pure ref stoppage as a title change. That's a little rarer. Kevin Owens did it to Sami Zayn, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
NXT.
Ah.
Just killed him and like, yeah, he's like down. you win, different. Bud. Please stop murdering Sami Zayn. We like him. So Goldberg, upset about the outcome, attacks him with security and then poses to cheers as Stevie checks on his deceased brother. This was dumb and I'm worried about Booker.
You said that like you were going to say this was dumb and I loved it.
No, this was dumb as in like people aren't going to boo Goldberg, guys. I'm sorry. But also, it's not like he cheated.
No.
He just dominated the world champion who you're trying to push. And it's like, oh, well, sorry, Goldberg's just better.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
He won too hard to where he wasn't allowed to win the title.
He's too good, brother.
That's like having a birthday party and one kid like wins the game so much. Sorry, it's his birthday now. He gets all the presents.
You actually forfeit all of your birthday.
Your birthday is now February 29th.
Oh, no.
But let's move on. Commentary chats, throws to backstage. Booker wants Goldberg again. He's like, if I don't get it, I'm just going to quit. Which I feel like you always have to be careful with the whatever, I'm going to quit or you're fired. Because it's like the other company's kicking your ass and we'll totally sign some of these guys.
Yeah.
But the cat reluctantly agrees, so that's our main event. We're going to get the same match. By the way, that match only went like 3 minutes.
That match we just talked about? Yeah, it was quick. It did not... Nothing here has really breathed. I was going to say nothing here has overstayed its welcome, but nothing here had a long enough time to
Nothing here has been welcome.
No, yeah. It's like the beginning of the show. We barely even got a welcome. It just happened.
Well, let's move into... I guess this is kind of a theme for tonight of like someone comes out to the ring and I'm like... So what's this going to be? Because we get Buff Bagwell coming out to the ring for a match, and it's supposedly against Canyon, which we'll learn via context clues here in a minute, because Buff has his stupid fucking top hat again, and gestures for Judy to come out.
Hell yeah, Judy.
Judy in the neck brace, we should note, because it'll come up later. Canyon's music hits, he doesn't come out. Music hits again, he doesn't come out. Buff then grabs a mic and says no one wants to see DDP. Oh, yeah, sorry, Canyon. It's like,
did you forget?
Yeah, he didn't do that clever enough to be like, are you all right?
I think you forgot. I think you heard the music and forgot that that's not actually DDP.
He says Canyon's ass is his, and then Judy grabs the mic and tells Canyon to bring his chicken shit ass to the ring. Buff scolds her language, but she says Canyon is a son of a bitch. Buff then says he wins by forfeit and to hit his music. It's like, all right.
So Buff, hit my music.
Buff does his strut and then points to Judy in her neck brace to do it. She fucking does. way to sell, girl.
That was kind of charming. I like that. I know it's stupid.
We then see one of the cameras suddenly put down. It's like a POV of it. And the cameraman attacks Buff. It's Canyon.
This I thought was super clever.
Yeah.
Because especially the reveal of it. Because like... They're just in the ring, like, being kind of, like, stupid, silly dance, whatever. And then you just see the camera that's filming them get set down. And then that is the reveal. I thought this was so well done. And the fact that Canyon is wearing prosthetics and a wig and, like, does not look like Canyon. It's not obvious. I thought this was very clever.
Also, credit to production. I rewound to see they do not show him. They, like, don't even remotely try to give this away.
Like they, it was a really good reveal.
Actively frame him out of the shot, or I think Buff is even like talking to his camera at one point too.
Yes.
So that's the way you get around it.
Oh, so good. This was awesome. I thought this was very clever. Plus, I know I'm gonna regret it. I like Judy. I know I'm gonna regret saying that. I think Judy's charming.
Judy knocks the wig off of Canyon and then pulls off more of his disguise. The bell rings, so this is now a match. Buff gets the advantage almost immediately, despite the subterfuge. Buff checks on his mom, so Canyon hits a Canyon cutter on Buff, and the bell rings again. What?
That's it.
Judy then bails and starts throwing her shoes at a chasing Canyon as they go backstage. Canyon just walks after her as she keeps stopping to yell at him.
She's scolding him. So she is like walking backstage and like turning and yelling at him past multiple security guards. Multiple security guards are listening to this old woman yell at this young wrestler to stop following her and harassing her. And they're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, whatever.
You've heard of the walk-in brawl where we're going to like this one spot. This is a walk-in scold.
I just like...
Kanan keeps being like, oh, you old bitch, I'm gonna get you.
That's why I'm like, the security guards are watching and listening and hearing this happen. They're like, yeah, whatever.
So they walk to a car, which has the trunk already open.
Convenient.
And he just like places her inside.
Again, where the security guards you just walked past are like, this is fine.
Slams it closed, drives off. Back from commercial, Buff gets in his car and gives chase. Where the fuck does he think he's going?
Yeah. His mom does not have a tracker on her. He doesn't have her on Find My Friends. There's no way he knows where the hell she is.
Put an air tag on Judy. So this is how you know Russo's really comfortable being back, because we have women being kidnapped again.
Kidnapping is back. We're so back.
We're so back.
We're so back.
We're so napped.
Oh my God.
This was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This was at least enjoyable ridiculous.
I personally love this.
Kanan, just like...
I fucking love Kanan, man. I love him so much.
I think you need to start peeking into the thunder, because just him just going around just hitting a diamond cutter on people. Because just like, all right, what's the point of the segment? Oh, it's just someone's going to get wrecked.
I love Kanan. Who better? Who better?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Who better? It's your boy.
He's not better right now because he won't let up on this fucking tape.
Pamela Pumpkins is here with Billy Kidman.
Oh my God, don't get me started on this.
Kidman says he isn't worried about his match because the sex tape stuff. He says he wants to show the tape to prove he doesn't have a small dick. Like, that's the entire purpose of this.
And he's, like, hyping himself up in this, where he's like, oh yeah, and Tori, you weren't yelling the franchise's name during that. All the while, Pamela's, like, getting heated, like, hot and heavy for this. Like, she is into this. She thinks this is sexy.
They missed the perfect chance for a joke. Because Kidman asks if the names Pamela and Tommy Lee ring a bell. I really wanted Pamela to go, yeah, that's my name.
Yeah, I was ready for it.
I was like, oh, come on.
I was kind of hoping for it, too. But she just thought, you could tell in her face, she thought this was sexy. She was kind of like, maybe I want to watch. Like, God.
Kidman says everyone will see it live later.
That's problematic, Billy. That's illegal.
Then go to Shane Douglas with Tori versus Mike Awesome.
This match does not matter.
No. Douglas grabs a mic to shit on the locals. Mike Awesome comes out to a new theme song.
Is it Fat Bottom Girls?
No, it should be. And he has three large women who all struggle to get in the ring.
Were there three? I thought there were only two.
There's three.
Oh, shit. I just don't see them like that.
As people? As a quantity of persons?
The way that Mark Matta was talking about them. Oh, what did he say? He's like, here comes the herd. Like, it's a stampede coming down the ring. Like, dude, they're not even that big. They're larger women. They're not that big.
Mark Madden with a fucking... with a line. I don't want to describe it more than that. Sex tapes, fat women, this is wrestling.
Oh my God, I think we missed one of his, like, great lines earlier.
Great?
Yes. So, it was back during the mixed tag match. Sorry.
Jesus.
I know, because I remember this line happening. It was back during the mixed tag match. They were talking about the tape and they're really harping on it. And Tony Schiavone very stupidly is like, what do you think is even on that tape? Mark Madden goes, it sounds like sex. Fucking ridiculous. I hate everything that's happening, but it's funny.
Awesome slams Douglas's head into the turnbuckles and hits his run-up back elbow. Awesome clotheslines Douglas to the floor. And then Awesome hits a springboard attack to the floor on Douglas and throws him around. Tori then jumps on Awesome's back and then just kind of grabs his leg. Douglas drops Awesome on the top rope, then get a front falling suplex on Awesome and the reverse neck snap. Douglas locks in a rest hold before going up top, but Awesome stops him and starts a comeback. Awesome hits a belly to belly and an Alabama slam. He then goes up top, but Tori grabs him right in front of the ref.
DQ?
Douglas grabs a chain and hits shots that, like, the ref might not totally see, but you can hear the chain rattling on every punch.
It's
maybe check that out, bud. Douglas goes for a superplex, but gets distracted by the start of the sex tape playing on the screen. Awesome pushes Douglas off the top rope. Awesome then takes a weight out of Tori Wilson's hands. I don't know where the fuck this apparated from.
Where did that come from?
It's a diving weight shot to Douglas for the win. And no one pops because they're all
watching the fucking porn that's happening on the screen.
So can you describe actually what is happening on the screen?
No, because I really didn't take a lot of note of it. I like actively wasn't watching it.
It's Kidman and Tori in like a hotel room looking kind of thing. Yeah. And like they're completely covered, you know, like they're covered from the neck down in covers. And Tori just like kind of lays on top of him and they kiss.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's very much, look, it's what you can get away with on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The thing that disgusted me the most, though, is after this match, they cut to like essentially a montage of a couple of people backstage, the Young Dragons and Kiwi.
Yeah.
Watching and reacting to the tape.
There was generic grunting in the background, ugh, too.
Gross. And bear in mind, what I'm saying is gross is not the fact that there is a sex tape. I don't care. Do you? It's the fact that they're, like, using this as revenge porn and the reactions. And they're, like, using the men's reaction to, like, make this a fwe thing. Like, that's what's gross.
By the way, that's not the end of the match segment because Billy Kidman suddenly appears on the stage with underwear. Cut back in the ring, Lance Storm is getting awesome bombed. Like, where the
fuck? Oh, was he? Yeah. I missed that.
Just Lance Storm just getting killed in the ring out of fucking nowhere.
We're gonna have this match, brother. Wait, why was Lance Storm there?
Because Mike Awesome. That was the only reason. Oh. Yeah. It cuts to the ring and he is getting awesome bombed. Like, oh, what the fuck?
Was this like a commercial break?
No.
Where the fuck did Lance Storm come from?
I guess the crowd, because it just cuts to Billy Kidman on the stage and then cuts back and it's like, oh, what?
That's crazy.
Back from commercial, Shane Douglas attacks someone from the truck for playing the video. Kidman comes out to the ring with a microphone, a version of the tape, and some underwear. Kidman says he made extra copies for everyone in the crowd, the boys in the back, and then a special one for Mark Madden.
It's a director's cut! I was just imagining this whole thing being like an Oprah segment. Like, everybody look under your chairs! You get a sex tape! You get a sex tape! Everybody gets a sex tape!
Plot twist. It's actually Hulk Hogan banging Bubba Love Sponge's wife.
While saying racial slurs.
To be fair, he said them after.
doesn't make it
that
better.
Wasn't what got him off. That'd be different.
I don't know, brother.
Hogan Knows Best Season 2. Not coming to you anytime soon.
I hate that this fucking DVD has been sitting next to me for months now. And I keep looking over and seeing it. It's under the desk that we work at. It is sitting next to me where we record. I have to look at Hogan Knows Best every fucking time we sit down.
Hey, it paid off. I managed to give that to a special friend.
No one else needs to be watching that. And I don't even mean that in a, like, territorial way. Like, no one should watch that show. I shouldn't have watched that show.
This is where we see the multiple people watching the tape, and then Douglas cuts a little promo from the truck, and that's it for the tape, I guess.
I'm sure that'll come back. Like, I don't think we're done with the tape.
We're running out of time for Viagra to poll, so maybe people did watch the tape, and it's like, oh yeah, no, your dick is small, Billy, sorry.
You're taking a small bill. Like, get it up.
You know what it was? He tried to shooting star press into Tori and just kneed her right in the face.
He actually did say that there were shooting stars in that tape. Because Mark Madden was asking, like, what kind of moves? And Billy was like, all the moves. There's a shooting star. Mark Madden's like, a shooting star? Like, imagine doing that in the bedroom. How would you do that?
All right, so we only have two matches left. This show is weird. Because next up is a cage match. And I'm like, did they hype this? Apparently, at one point earlier in the show, Tony Schiavone said there's a cage above the ring.
Did they?
That's all we got.
Because all of a sudden, like, oh, that, what do they call it?
Caged heat.
Oh, yeah, that caged heat is lowering. Like, what? Why? Since when?
So the caged heat match is a four-way tag match of the Filthy Animals versus the Perfect Event versus the Misfits in Action versus Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare.
They really need a name.
And whoever doesn't escape the cage is out of the title match at New Blood Rising.
But very specifically, they need to escape the cage through the door.
They didn't say that, but that
that is how it happens.
Yes, but this is not a traditional cage where it's like, oh, you have to climb up and over. It's like, yeah, just go out the door.
Yeah, there's just a door. Just get to the door.
This so reads like reverse battle royal.
Yeah.
Like in a bad way.
When did they do a reverse battle royal?
That's TNA. Oh. Of who can get in the ring first.
Ugh.
I've made you watch that. You think you just blocked it out?
I feel like you have. Yeah, it sounds familiar. Yeah, you have. Because it's like the first like six men or something to get in.
Well, admittedly, Palumbo tries to escape immediately. And I'm like, oh God, this is going to be just an everyone brawls and nothing happens match, isn't it?
Right. But like, if you're just trying to get to a door, why would you wrestle?
Yeah.
Just run for the door. Last man out loses.
We barely see some cool offense from Sean O'Hare because, like, there's no focus.
No.
Or, like, through line in this match for the first bit. Rey Mysterio then throws Mark Jindrak out of the cage. And then Juventud Guerrera beats Sean O'Hare out of the cage. It's like, oh, they're going to pay-per-view.
They're good. They're done.
Did you catch why Tony Schiavone was so upset in this match?
No.
What type of Mexican strategy is this?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't think that's why he was upset. I thought that was just like trying to explain what Rey and Hoovy were doing.
Well, he was trying to figure it out. He was very upset that he couldn't. And I'm like, did Conan say something? Oh, yeah. Conan and Tigress are on commentary.
Was Conan on commentary?
Yeah.
I heard Tigress. Oh, wait. Yeah. No, I definitely heard Conan. Yeah. Because Conan just kept getting annoyed that one of the guys on commentary, it might have been Tony Schiavone, kept like stepping on him when he started talking. Because there was a line towards the end where Conan's like, you keep stepping on my lines, I'm going to step on your face. And somebody else in commentary's like, and he's going to do it too.
Once O'Hare and Jindrak are out of the cage, like commentary's like very confused. Conan at least tries to explain this, like credit to him. Oh, he's like, we know who we want and don't want in the match at the pay-per-view. And I'm like, okay, this match is a clusterfuck, but I appreciate you putting a cherry on that on the clusterfuck.
Right. Yeah.
Perfect Event and Filthy Animals fight in the ring as people just keep not going for the door. And then the Perfect Event just leaves so casually, it makes you wonder why they didn't do it earlier.
That's how everyone should leave. Just open the door and walk out.
Perfect Event then come back and lock the door? Why?
Yeah, what was the thought process here?
Maybe they'll beat each other up more is the best I got. But
sure.
Not to be deterred. Despite the fact that this was clearly not talked about beforehand, or I didn't get the vibe it was, Conan's like, don't worry, I brought bolt cutters. What?
Oh, yeah, and then Conan just kind of like whips bolt cutters out from like, I don't know, his pocket. He also is wearing a sling on commentary, and he just fucks that, you know?
Then we get Disco Inferno suddenly on top of the cage, and both of us are like, how did he get up there and no one noticed?
He like sneaky appeared on the top of the cage out of literal nowhere. Like, we didn't see him climb up. I think that he was just up there, like, laying flat the whole time, and then was just like, bah, I'm alive. I don't know. That's all that makes sense to me.
Or he, like, rappelled down and they just didn't show it. I don't know.
Maybe.
Disco knocks out some of the ceiling, so Rey and Hoovy grab a ladder and hit the Misfits with it and then climb the ladder and hit dives from the ladder. Supposed to going for the door, they then go after the opponents. Rection throws Rey into Hoovy and climbs up to the top of the cage. Rey then also climbs up top and almost goes off the side. I'm like, Jesus.
Well, I figured that's what they were going to do. I mean, they have to get out of the cage. They got out of the cage. But I assumed, like, okay, got to get to the floor or something. But I don't know.
Corporal Cajun then hits a dive onto Hoovy with the door open, knocking Hoovy out of the cage.
Okay, cool. So Hoovy's out. So now he's got to get Rey out.
Commentary has no idea if escaping through the ceiling counts or not.
To me, it does.
Well, it clearly doesn't because the match keeps going.
I mean, it's like a prison break. You know, like Shawshank Redemption. They didn't actually escape prison because they didn't walk out the front door. Like, they escaped the jail. They got out.
They're still on the grounds. You haven't fully escaped it.
But you got out. You're out of the cage. You're no longer entrapped in cage. I think you're out of the cage.
I mean, look, I would agree, but the fact that the match doesn't end means
Well, I'm saying that the rules are stupid.
I'm saying this should have been a cage match and not a caged heat match.
I'm saying the caged heat is a stupid term.
Yeah.
I think we're saying the same thing, and we're just both angry.
I'm saying it'd be dumb if it was Hell in a Cell, too. This should be a standard cage where it makes sense to try to escape and go up and over.
Sure, but escaping the cage is just vague enough that it leaves the loopholes for shit like this. Escape the cage. You got out of the cage. It doesn't matter how. You got out.
Or use the phrase, escape the cage with both feet touching the floor.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or escape the cage through this door. Like, specify it one more line. And then sure. But you left it too vague.
Conan and Hoovy then set up a table at ringside and put like a tablecloth over it. I don't get what the point of that was.
Oh, I missed the tablecloth.
Yeah, they just randomly laid across and then when it gets used later, that's gone. But Corporal Cajun casually escapes. So casually, I didn't even note it in my notes.
Yeah, he just kind of like walked out, kind of just meandered.
Yeah, wow, the door's open. That can happen.
Just walk out.
Cajun lays Hoovy on the table and then wants Huge Erection to dive through from the top of the cage. I'm like,
yeah.
That will kill both of you.
That'd be pretty cool, though.
Rey stops Erection and they just brawl some more. Cajun gets put through the table at cage side. Rexxion and Ray head back into the ring. Ray tries for Hurricane Rana hanging from the cage, but Rexxion catches him, hits a powerbomb, and then crawls out the door, meaning the Filthy Animals, who were already not in the title match, the pay-per-view, are out of the title match.
Cool.
So all that for basically nothing.
Nope. All that to just bury the Filthy Animals a little bit more.
I wouldn't say it buried them, but this was a fucking mess.
It was a mess. I didn't hate it as much as I think you did. I thought this was, like, had a little bit of like entertainment value, but it was fucking stupid.
I would have liked this more if you just did the Filthy Animals versus MIA. The fact that you did this, like, okay, the last team in is the team out, and oh, we all gotta try to like sneak out, and then teams just left, and like,
yeah,
just the logic gap was too much.
Yeah,
for me.
There was a logic gap. You're right there. But once you just say like fuck it to the logic in wrestling, it's a little bit more entertaining. I don't want to sound like other wrestling podcasts where like just shut up and enjoy it. Like it's just fun. Sometimes you do have to just be like fuck it. Fuck it. It's fun.
There's a difference between accepting and fuck it. And that's.
Yeah, that's yeah. True. That is true.
Let's go backstage. Booker T and Stevie Ray argue about Booker's match. And then during the break, apparently Goldberg threw Stevie Ray through a plate glass window.
Jesus.
And with 4.5 minutes left in the show, it's time for our main event.
Let's definitely do slow, full entrances.
Yes, it's Booker T versus long knock on the door entrance Goldberg.
Let's
for
go.
The WCW title. Actually, but first, Stevie gets loaded into an ambulance. Booker attacks Goldberg once he gets to ringside, and they brawl around there. Booker hits a scissor kick on Goldberg, getting in the ring, but Goldberg gets a boot up in the corner. Goldberg catches Booker in a running crossbody and power slams him. Jeff Jarrett then comes out to the ring, hits Goldberg with a chair. Like, directly aims for him, not like a, oh, I hit him by accident.
Yeah.
Goldberg then kills Jarrett with a spear, but the cat comes out, hits a jumping spin kick to Goldberg, payback for earlier. Goldberg then punches the cat, but eats a Harlem sidekick and a bookend, and in less than 3 minutes, Booker T becomes the third person to beat Goldberg?
Ever? Wow.
We saw his first loss.
Yeah.
Then Brett did it.
Damn. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Because this gives you no time to process that. Because almost immediately, Goldberg spears Booker, hits the jackhammer, and security comes in, and Goldberg attacks them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm worried about Booker.
Yeah.
You try to be like, oh my God, he did this crazy thing, and it's literally immediately undercut, and... Like, I'm really trying to think, does anybody else pin Goldberg or, like, even beat him? I don't think so, because he was gone. He came back, beat Tank Abbott. I don't think he's lost since.
Damn, that's kind of sad.
Yeah. Worried about Booker, man.
Yeah, you've been saying. Well, what a way to end the show.
Yeah, so Goldberg standing tall as he gets cheered, because that's the other problem, is that you're casually turning Goldberg back face, and it's like, yeah, he's the top face. He kind of noted earlier, where he goes, I don't need the belt to be the man. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Especially when you just have Booker come out going, I'm so happy to be here, guys.
Every week. It's just great to be alive. Let's make plans for Christmas.
Yeah. And don't worry, at Christmas, I'm facing Jeff Jarrett. So even the plans we're looking forward to aren't going to be exciting.
Isn't it great to be alive?
Any last thoughts on the main event or the post-main event or
The main event, God, no. I mean, it's very classic WCW to have the last match be way too short because of poor time management. So this to kind of feel like classic WCW.
Yeah, and the fact that it was so short, like, you didn't kind of get the chance to have Booker T feel like he was fighting from underneath. Feel like,
yeah.
Holy shit, like, I got busted open. And I got, you know, they threw in the towel. It's like, nope. No, Booker just got the advantage, got double help and won.
There's no opportunity to even tell that story. There was no, like... If that was the pay-per-view match, you could have built that further.
Now, that said, the spear on Jeff Jarrett, beautiful. That dude, Goldberg spear, fucking love him.
Ugh, yeah. So who has your favorite spear? Goldberg, Roman Reigns, else has spear?
Goldberg Edge. Has my best and worst spear. Because young Goldberg has the best spear. Old Goldberg has the worst spear.
I feel like Edge has some bad spears too as an old man.
Yeah, I mean, his always kind of been a little bit of a cuddle. But he at least still runs to you and not just double leg takedown. That's a spear.
Well, that's what Roman Reigns does, too.
No, he'll do the big...
Does Roman run?
He'll at least take a couple steps.
He's like, a step.
But hey, we're talking about WCW, not...
Do we have to? What if we just totally pivot and start talking about Monday Night Raw instead?
I mean, Raw this era would probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about to start building to tables and ladders and chairs. Oh my. But thoughts on this show as a whole?
This is garbage.
Yeah, this was a real bad one. And
this was real rough.
And I'm very curious to see what we came up with for best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily, what is your best bit of the show?
I gave Canyon my best bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, that whole segment of him like sneaking out from being the cameraman and then the run back, like that whole segment. I thought that Canyon just did such a good job. And I know that this sounds like I'm giving him MVP, but that whole segment was the best bit. What did you give?
Landstorm versus Vito, I guess.
I guess.
Don't feel great about it, but like, yeah, it's the best match and there wasn't much fun segment. I mean, yeah, it was a little ridiculous, but that may come up for me in a minute.
Okay. What about your worst bit? What's your worst bit?
Just everything with the sex tape?
Yes, that is correct.
I mean, we really undersold how fucking annoying Mark Madden was this
whole show.
Because
we had to not talk about it. It's so disgusting. The whole premise is disgusting. Mark Madden is the worst part of it all. Like, Billy Kidman is bad. Mark Madden is worse. So yeah, that is the worst bit. You're right.
And then, Emily, who'd you come up with for MVP?
I struggle bust. I thought I was going to give it to Booker or Goldberg because they did enough work on the show, but like neither of them really deserved it.
Yeah, they didn't do that much work.
They did three matches.
Well, they did two.
Or three segments.
Yeah, they did two matches. Each went 3 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll give it to Landstorm.
Okay.
Yeah. He was the best wrestler on the show.
I think it might be some Thunder bias, but Kenyon's out there having fun.
Hell yeah. I do love that. I feel like
we've kind of noted this before. I think if you put anybody else in what Canyon's doing, it wouldn't work. And Canyon's making it work.
Yes.
So, Canyon.
And he's doing it well, and I love him.
Oh, man, I really hope the next couple night shows are better, but
we'll find out.
I think they're going to be an absolute mess.
Huh?
But we have two nitros left until New Blood Rising, and I know there's some total dog shit on those shows, but maybe there's some not dog shit. But there's definitely some not dog shit in our previous back catalog, available everywhere podcasts are found except for SoundCloud. And if you follow us there, you can also follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod on a couple of the platforms. It's at Butts in the Seats on Blue Sky and Butts in the Seats Podcast on Facebook. Additionally, patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month gets you almost 25 bonus episodes, including WWE Evolution. And I think within like a week of this, it's going to be conspiracy theories with Jesse Ventura.
It is finally time to dive into that hellscape.
It's finally time to be asking the questions.
Just asking questions. Where are they going in the bar?
I like how we're like, oh man, we're tired of dog shit. Also us.
Let's go to Jesse Ventura.
Talking about fucking... I think Alex Jones definitely appears on one of these episodes.
Yes, he does. I can't wait. Oh, but is it too real? Who knows? We're going to find out.
And hey, after that, we're doing Lockdown 2010, continuing the new Monday Night Wars.
Let's go. Patreon's a fun time.
It is. It's a fun break from this.
It is.
Like, I enjoy this as much as we hate this, but
I am very happy that I did all of this in one day. I watched and recorded this in one day, so this does not have to take up long-term space in my brain.
Yeah, it sat with me for a little while.
Nope. Not for me, brother.
Well, Emily, make sure you hold space for our next Nitro coming in 2 weeks. But until then, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.